Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All set, sir, if I may have that exhibit.
Thank you. Your Honor, I believe this is defense counsel's as well.
All right, your next witness, Mr. Lally.
Yes, Your Honor, the Commonwealth calls Sergeant Brian Gallerani to the stand.
You saw this with the evidence of the court and jury in the case nearly here. She was a whole truth and nothing but truth, so help.
I do.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Lally.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon.
You are unmuted.
Good afternoon. Could you please state your name and spell your last name?
Brian Gallerani. Gallerani.
And what do you do for work, sir?
I'm currently employed as a sergeant for the Needham Police Department.
And how long in total have you been a member of the Needham?
I graduated the academy January of 2006.
And how long have you held the rank of sergeant?
Just under a year.
Now, prior to you holding the rank of sergeant, what was it that you did within the Needham?
I was a detective from September of 2014 to June of 2023.
Now, over the course of your work as a detective and a sergeant in the Needham Police Department, what, if any, training have you received in regard to collection of biological samples?
As part of a sexual assault class I took in January of 2015, I was certified in DNA collection by the Mass State Police.
Can you explain a little bit to the jury about sort of what that certification process entailed or what it was that you did to certify?
So I was specifically certified in buccal swabs, which is the process of collecting cells suitable for DNA comparison by swabbing inside of a person's cheek.
And that certification, is that up to date at point?
Yes.
Now, at some point on January 16, 2024, did you have occasion to collect buccal swabs or samples in relation to this case?
I did.
And fair to say, as far as your work with the Needham Police Department, you had no familiarity or work with the investigation on a Camden Police Department case?
Correct.
Or a police case involving units heard in the town?
Correct.
You didn't know any parties involved in the case?
I did not.
And so on January 16th, 2024, where did you go on that?
I went to the Norfolk District Attorney's Office in Canton.
And who, if anyone, did you meet with, or who, if anyone, did you collect samples from on that?
I collected samples from Sergeant Buchanick and Trooper Proctor.
And can you explain to the jury just briefly, as far as the process of your collection, as far as what physically did you?
So I physically swabbed the inside of their mouths with a cotton swab and collected the evidence, sealed it up in a buccal swab kit, photographed it, and brought it back to the Needham Police Department.
When you brought it back to the police department, what did you do with that?
I entered it into the evidence.
And did you do that in conformity, both the collection and the securing of the item, do that in conformity with your training and certification on swab collection?
I did.
Now, with reference to those items, at some point were you informed that those items were to be transferred or transported to a Bode Technology Lab in Lower Virginia.
I was.
And were there specific instructions as far as shipping was concerned that were provided by the Bode Technology Lab?
Yes.
And the shipping that occurred in the case, was that in conformity with what Bode had provided as far as the policies, protocols for shipping those types of materials?
It was.
Thank you, sir. Nothing further.
Anything?
We have no questions.
All right. You're all set, Sergeant.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Witness.
Yes, Your Honor. The Commonwealth call Mr. Nicholas Bradford to the stand.
Step right up.
You saw me, sir, the evidence of the court and jury in the case now we're hearing show the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help God.
Give me your honor. I have just one moment.
Sure.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name?
Yep, it's Nicholas Bradford, B-R-A-D-F-O-R-D.
And sir, that microphone before you is adjustable. You can place them anywhere that's comfortable for yourself, okay? What is it that you do for?
I'm a DNA analyst for Bode Technology in Lorton, Virginia.
Okay, you're definitely going to have to keep your voice up, sir. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Now, sir, if I could...
It's Bode Technology in Lorton, Virginia.
And for the record, Bode is just spelled as far as B-O-D-E, is that correct?
Correct.
Now, sir, if I could just ask you a question about your educational background, starting with your undergrad. Where did you go for your undergraduate, and what, if any, degree did you receive from there?
Yep. I have a Bachelor of Science in Forensic Biology from Mercy Harris College in Erie, Pennsylvania.
And then following your graduation with that degree, where did you go?
I have a Master of Forensic Science in Forensic Molecular Biology from the George Washington University in Washington, D.C.
And whenabouts was it that you received that master's?
It was around about 2011.
And with relation to your graduate work your work at Bode, when did your work at Bode begin with relation to your graduate?
I started at Bode at about 2009.
So during the course of your graduate school?
Yes.
And when you started with the Bode lab, what was the sort of position or what did you start doing when you had?
I was a DNA technician. We assisted the analysts with their case files, and we primarily operated the different robotics and the different processes in the lab.
And at some point over the course of your work there, you then became an analyst, is that correct?
Yes.
And about how much time elapsed or how much time did you spend as a technician prior to becoming an analyst?
I was a technician for about a year, maybe two. And then I was in the data banking section as an analyst. And since then, I've worked in the high-throughput casework group and the customized casework group.
Now, as far as your work within the particular field, have you had occasion to work at any other sort of lab facilities?
Yes, for about 3 years, I worked at the Pennsylvania State Police DNA lab.
Now, Bode Technology, as far as that lab is concerned, describe for the jury sort of what kind of lab that is. And let me ask first by just about how many analysts work at Bode Technology?
Somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 100 analysts, give or take. We're a small private lab in Lorton, Virginia, and we do DNA work contracted through different police agencies throughout the country.
Now, in addition to police agencies, are there other types of entities that you would accept or that would send submissions for DNA casework?
Yes, we do some international work with human identification and that sort of thing as well.
Now, as far as the lab at Bode Technologies, is that lab accredited?
Yes, we are accredited through the National Standards Institute.
And can you speak a little bit about that sort of accreditation process and what it means to be an accredited?
Yes, so that the National Standards Institute has a set of criteria for DNA labs doing forensic work, and we are audited against those criteria every year, sometimes internal audits and sometimes external audits.
Is that accreditation at the lab, is that up to the accreditation, is it current as of now?
Yes.
Now, with reference to your work as a DNA analyst, describe general terms, jury, what it is you do in reference. What is it that you do in reference to your work in DNA?
Yes, so we take in evidence that's submitted to us. We process it through the DNA processing. So there are four basic steps to DNA. There's extraction, so that's where we separate out the DNA. And then there's quantification, and that is basically just us determining how much DNA we have to work with. The next step is amplification. So depending on the case and the different processes that we're going to use, we're targeting a number of different locations in the genome, and we're going to make millions of copies of each of those locations. And in each one of those copies, there's a little fluorescent tag that we can then detect in the detection step, and that's the fourth step. And then that from there, we have the DNA profile vial for that sample.
Now, with reference to the lab, as far as training is concerned, you mentioned that you spent at least a year or two as a technician prior to becoming an analyst. What are some of the training, specialized training in this area that you undergo as an employee?
Yes, so the training program involves a lot of scientific literature reading. There's a practical aspect to it where we're given known samples that we're to treat as if they were casework samples. So we process those as if they were casework. We have written and verbal exams, and we have a moot court exam at the end.
And you successfully completed each of those training portions of, over the course of work with the lab?
Yes.
Familiar with a term known as vision test?
Yes.
And can you explain to me what that is and how it relates to your work at DNA Analytical Technology?
Yes. So part of our accreditation is we have to do proficiency testing twice a year, and that is when an outside company sends us known samples and we process them again as if they were casework, and then those results are sent to that outside company, and then we get the results back to see if we are proficient in those technologies or not.
And with respect to yourself, as far as the proficiency testing that you've undergone, what if any issues have you had with testing that you've undergone?
I've passed all my proficiency tests.
Now, what is DNA?
So DNA is essentially the blueprint for a living thing. It's in most of our cells, and it's unique to an individual with the exception of identical twins.
Now, at some point in January of 2024, you received a particular assignment in regard to DNA analysis from a number of items you received from Massachusetts.
Yes.
And specifically, what can you describe the process as far as like when an item comes into the lab at Quoting Technology, how it's processed or how from the time of receipt to the time that the item gets to you? Explain a little bit about that process.
Yes, so the item is generally sent via UPS or FedEx. It arrives in our secure evidence room. That room has limited access to only certain individuals. And from that point on, when it's received, a chain of custody is started for that that shipment. And anytime anyone touches or uses that item, we need to check it out from the secure evidence room. And then that's all logged on the chain of custody.
Now, when something comes in, is it assigned a sample name or a case number or an ID number in some way, shape, or form?
Yes.
And is it also identified by sort of the corresponding numbers from the external vendor where it came?
Yes.
Now, in reference to Bode case number CCA416-002, did you perform work in relation to that case?
Yes.
And there was a corresponding agency case number of 2-02184, is that correct?
Yes.
That would have been from the outside vendor, or at least one of them, as far as Massachusetts State Crime, correct?
Correct.
So there were a number of items that you received, you could identify them for the jury, what you received and specifically sort of what you looked.
Yes, so we received an apparent hair. We received an extract from a taillight from a vehicle, and we received two reference samples from two troopers from the Massachusetts State Police.
And in addition, was there a sample ID as far as a known standard?
Yes, so Bode gives it our own our own item number. So in this case, the two reference samples were CCA 2416-0023, R03, and the same number, R04, for the two reference samples.
Now, if I could just ask you to further expound upon, as far as the CCA 416-03, which is E01, there was an agency sample ID, is that correct, attached to that?
Yes.
What was that, sir?
So that was 3-6.1.
Is there a description that comes from the external vendor as well as what that item is?
Yes. In this case, the sample was a shaft end of hair from exterior passenger side rear panel.
There's a specific mass registration plate associated with that hair as well, is that correct?
Yes.
And that was 3GC684, is that correct?
Correct.
Now, with reference to the R03 and R04, those were vehicle samples, is that correct?
Yes.
And R03 specifically, as far as the agency description, what, if anything, was provided as far as that?
For R03, that was the buccal swab from Yuri Begetic.
And as far as R04?
That was the buccal swab from Michael Proctor.
Now, with reference to the extract portion, that was E02, was that correct?
Yes.
And, you know, what say extract, explain to the jury sort of what you understand that term, you know, or what is an extract as far as what you looked at.
Yes. So when I described the four-step process earlier, so the extraction was already done prior to us receiving the item. So essentially the extract comes to us in a tube, and it's a liquid, and provided with that would be the the negative control that was associated with it. So from that point, we have the quantification information from the lab that did the extraction. So then we would amplify and then detect the profile from there.
And just to be clear, as far as the EO2 that you were talking about, as far as the extract that you received, what was the agency description on that extract?
So that was the sample from passenger side taillight with the same registration number, and that was labeled as an extract.
Now, in addition to that, there was a known blood standard, which you indicated was item or agency sample ID 8-1.1.1.
Yes.
And what was the agency description on the known blood standard?
That would be from, excuse me. Sorry, that was the sample from John O'Keefe, the profile, I should say.
And so when you say the profile, what do you mean by that?
Yes, so the profile was generated by the Massachusetts State Police Lab, and then that profile was given to us to do a comparison.
Now, as far as the profile that was provided, as far as your observations of that, what, if any, issues did you observe in your observation profile provided by the State Crime Lab Massachusetts?
It looked like a standard single-source profile.
Now, starting with, as far as there was a STR processing that was conducted, correct?
Yes.
What does STR stand for?
It stands for short tandem repeats, and essentially what we're doing with that is it's the DNA process that we use in forensic testing, where the areas that we're amplifying are short repeats of a genetic sequence that repeat multiple times, and we're just measuring the number of times that sequence repeats, and those numbers together are the profile.
Now, as far as the profile the extract that you received, as far as EO2, the passenger side tail ID, what, if anything, were you able to determine based on your analysis and STR processing of that?
Yes, so we determined that it was consistent with a mixture of three individuals, including at least one male contributor.
And so if you could just walk jury through as far as the process, as far as testing, what is it that you're actually doing in the lab? What are you looking at, and how are you making a comparison?
So once we have the DNA profile, like I said, we're measuring the number of times the sequence repeats at a given location. So we have a series of those, and then we compare that to the reference profile that we were provided, or that we generated for the two reference samples that we actually processed. And then we determine if it's possible that the individual whose reference profile it is could be a possible contributor to that mixture profile that we got from the evidence. And then we need to do a statistical calculation to determine the strength of that possibility of an inclusion.
Can I ask you a little bit about, as far as that statistical calculation, how is that done, or where does that come from?
So in this case, we did what's called a likelihood ratio. Essentially, what we're doing is comparing two explanations for the DNA profile that we observed. So if we have, say, you know, person A, one explanation would be that the DNA profile is a mixture of person A and two unknown individuals. And then the other explanation would be that it's simply three unknown individuals and it's not person A. So then we compare those two explanations of the profile and determine which one is more likely.
Now, as far as the sort of reference samples that you had the DNA profile of John O'Keefe, correct?
Correct.
And I'm sorry, starting that, you had the extract with DNA profile with multiple contributors from Dale.
Yes.
So then you have the known blood standards or the DNA profile from John O'Keefe, correct?
Yes.
Then you have the samples from Yuri Buchanek and Michael Brock, correct?
Yes.
And so with reference to those specifically, as far as a reference sample, is that what you're generating the DNA profiles from?
So we're comparing those references to the mixture that we obtained from the taillight.
And so in your comparison, let me start with the known one, as far as John O'Keefe. What, if anything, find from your comparison of the John O'Keefe DNA profile to the DNA profile from Dale?
Yes. So in this case, when comparing the John O'Keefe profile, assuming a mixture of three individuals, it is at least 740 nonillion times more likely to be observed if it originated from John O'Keefe and two unknown unrelated individuals than if from three unknown unrelated individuals. And we provide a sort of verbal qualifier to that because most people probably don't have a lot of experience with nonillion. So in this case, that would be very strong support for inclusion.
If you know nonillion, how many zeros are there?
So that would be the number with 30 zeros.
And so that would be a strong support for inclusion, correct?
Yes.
Now, with regard to your comparison, with regard to your work as DNA analyst, is there any kind of software that you use in the course of your analysis with regard to an STR mix?
Yes. When there's a mixture profile, we often use what's called StarMix. And it's essentially a computer program that we input the DNA profile, and it allows us to use a series of mathematical equations to help us interpret that mixture.
Was that done in this case as well?
Yes, and then we use that same program to run the statistics.
Now, with regard to the sample, the vehicle sample attributed from Yuri Bukin, did you run that for a comparison as well?
Yes.
And what, if anything, were your findings based on your analysis of that?
So in that case, assuming a mixture of three individuals, the DNA profile obtained is at least 46 million times more likely to be observed if it originated from three unknown, unrelated individuals than if from Yuri Bukinic and two unknown, unrelated individuals. So that sounds confusing given what I just said. So the verbal qualifier for that would be very strong support for exclusion.
Very strong support for exclusion, is that correct? And then similarly, as you were testifying, what, if anything, find from your analysis, Harrison, of sample or DNA profile from my rock?
Yes, so in that case, assuming a mixture of three individuals, it is at least 76,000 times more likely to be observed from three unknown, unrelated individuals than if from Michael Proctor and two unknown, unrelated individuals. So that would be strong support for exclusion.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but your findings with regard to three samples is strong inclusion or strong support for inclusion of John O'Keefe, is that correct?
It'd be very strong support for inclusion.
And strong support for exclusion of both Yuri Bukinic and Michael Proctor, correct?
Correct.
Now, sir, in addition to that, you had mentioned that there was an E01 sample that was a shaft end of a hair from the exterior passenger side rear panel of that same vehicle with the same Massachusetts license, correct?
Correct.
Now, with regard to DNA as it pertains to a hair sample, can you describe for the jury sort of that process? And so what is it that you're looking, when you receive a hair sample as far as extraction is concerned, how does that process work, or what are you getting that extraction from?
Yes, so when we have a hair, generally we'll take a look at it, and a forensic biologist will give their opinion on if it's likely that we'll obtain a profile from that hair, because hairs can be a little tricky. So in this case, the forensic biologist determined that the hair would likely not provide a great profile from STR testing, but we went ahead with it anyway, just because sometimes it does work. But in this case, we extract it, and that involves dissolving the hair and forming an extract like the other samples. And then we quantified the hair in this case. And the quantification that I used targets what is called autosomal DNA or nuclear DNA. And in that case, the results were below the limit of detection. So we did not process that sample forward for STRs because we would not have obtained a useful DNA profile from it.
Sir, if I could just take it back a little bit. Earlier in your statement right there, you just indicated that hair samples or DNA from hair can be a little tricky. Can you expound upon that and explain to the jury sort of what you mean by that?
Yes. A lot of times hairs are, unless they have a root attached, they're not a great sample for nuclear STR testing. They can be, but it's sometimes hit or miss.
As far as what's actually being tested as far as STR when it comes to hair, it's not actual hair, is that correct?
I'm not sure I follow. Can you?
Let me ask you this. You're familiar with the term lacule tissue?
Yes.
Can you explain, jury, what that means in relation to a hair sample and DNA?
Yes. So when there's a follicle attached, that's generally where you will get the nuclear DNA from, not the hair itself.
Follicle would necessarily be attached to the root end and not to the shaft, correct?
Correct.
Now, as far as autosomal DNA, can you explain what is autosomal DNA and sort of where does that come from within DNA?
Yeah, so you can think about that more as nuclear DNA. So that would be DNA that's in the nucleus of the cell. So that's what most people think of when they think of DNA. But there are other forms of DNA. So like, for example, mitochondrial DNA that exists outside the nucleus.
And as far as the testing that you performed in regard to this hair sample, that was STR testing, is that correct?
Yes.
And, I'm sorry, what were the findings again in relation to the STR?
Yes, so like I said, we quantified the hair and it was below the limit of detection. So we did not process that hair forward for STR.
Now, as far as that terminology, below the limit of detection, you explain a little bit, jury, sort of what that means as it applies to testing.
Yes. So the instrumentation has a limit of detection. So there could be potentially small amounts of DNA there, but it's below the limit that we are confident to say that there is DNA present. So we would normally not process those samples forward.
Now, that hair sample, as far as the one that you tested, you mentioned that it was not initially advisable, I guess, for SDR testing, and just went ahead and did it anyway, because sometimes worked, is that correct?
Yes, it's usually worth a try.
And then beyond that, that hair sample within your lab, as far as Brody technology, was that given to a different analyst for a different type of testing?
Yes, we decided it was worth a try to do mitochondrial DNA testing on the hair.
And is that a type of testing that you yourself perform?
No, that would not be me.
And why would it not be?
I was not trained in mitochondrial testing.
That's sort of a specialized subset as far as different training and different type of testing that occurs?
Yes.
Just general terms, if you know, explain to the jury sort of difference between what's termed as nuclear or autosomal DNA versus mitochondrial DNA?
Yes. So very basically, the nuclear DNA is the DNA that exists in the nucleus. The mitochondrial DNA is the DNA that exists outside the nucleus in the mitochondria. And the mitochondrial DNA is inherited directly from the mother. So if you were to test maternally related individuals, they would have the same mitochondrial profile.
And that other analyst that conducted the mitochondrial DNA, familiar with that person?
Yes, that was test chart.
One moment, Charles.
Well.
Thank you very much. I have no further questions.
Okay.
We have no questions.
Great. So you are all set, Mr. Bradford.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. So, jurors, we will take our lunch and break, and we'll have more witnesses here for you this afternoon. So let's say 40-45.
All rise for the court, please.
Your Honor, may we approach this please?
Sure.
Counsel, follow me.
All right, we're all set. So we'll see everybody in 40 minutes.
Court, all rise. Court stands 40 minutes for the lunch and recess. Thank you. Maybe see the court back in a second.
All right, Ms. Tilali, your next witness, please.
Yes, Your Honor. The Commonwealth called Ms. Tess Chart to the stand.
Okay.
Step right up here and just watch your step.
Why is the courtroom, please?
You stand and face the
clerk. You raise your right hand. You saw this with the honesty of the court and jury in the case now here. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help.
I do.
Thank you. May take the stand.
Go right ahead, Mr. Lally.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name, jury?
Sure. My name is Tess Chart, C-H-A-R-T.
And Ms. Chart, what do you do for work?
I'm a forensic DNA analyst at Bodie Technology.
And where is Bodie Technology located?
It's in Lorton, Virginia.
And ask you some questions, just a little bit about your educational background, starting with your undergraduate work. Where did you go to school, and what, if any, degree did you receive in relation to your undergraduate?
Sure. I have my bachelor's in science in molecular biology from Millersville University in Pennsylvania, and then I have my master's of science in forensic science from Towson University in Maryland.
So, Ms. Chart, I'm going to ask you to keep your voice up really loud, okay?
Thank you.
Ms. Chart, if it's at all helpful, that microphone is adjustable. You may anywhere. Now, with reference to your master's in forensic science, when about was that?
So I got my degree at the end of 2019.
And following grad school, where did you go?
I was hired directly by Bodie Technology.
And when was that?
That was in July of 2019.
Now, when you started in July of 2019 with Bodie Technology, what was your position at that time, and sort of what were your duties and responsibilities when you initially began working?
So I started as a technologist, so that's someone that will do all of the lab portion of the work in a laboratory. And I helped out with our humanitarian team, so helping identify human remains. From there, I also helped with our criminal cases as well.
And when you started your work there, what, if any, sort of training did you undergo in relation to your work at Bodie?
So when you first start at Bodie Technology, you actually go through a series of lectures, and you have a series of readings to go through all of the science that you're going to learn and the background of all of the technologies you're going to use. From there, you will observe a qualified analyst or a qualified person in the lab, go through everything that you're going to be trained in, and from there, you'll get a series of sets. So there'll be mock samples that you will take through the lab and do all of the testing on that you're going to be trained in. And it starts out with having that qualified analyst there with you, and you're able to ask questions and troubleshoot as you go. From there, you'll get a second set that'll be no analyst with you, but you're still allowed to ask questions at that point. And then your final set is something that we call a competency set. So you take it through the lab and treat it just like you would any other case, and you're not allowed to ask questions, and then you're graded at the end. If you pass that test, you can go through a written exam and then a verbal exam. And then you take your results from your testing and you defend it in a mock court sample. If you pass all of those qualifications, you can become an analyst or become qualified in whatever lab technique you're being trained in.
And as far as that sort of training process went, how long was it from the time that you joined Coding Technology to the time that you started doing the work that you do now?
It's been a rolling process of all the different trainings that I've had to go through. I'd say it took me about 9 months from when I started to be qualified in everything that I do for mitochondrial DNA testing. And then for analysis training, I think it was another 6 months or so.
Now, as far as the lab at Bode Technology, is that an accredited lab?
Yes, it is.
And do you know from whom the lab receives its accreditation?
Yes, we receive a international accreditation from an association called ANAB, which is just a national standards organization. We're also accredited by the FBI at their quality standards as well. Would you like me to repeat that? Okay.
Ms. Chart, as far as your lab being accredited, can you explain to the jury sort of what that means?
Sure. So all of our testing, all of the things that we report are basically guidelined by an outside body. So everything we do is established and gone through before or as we go through the testing procedures. So we're able to make sure that everything that we do is standardized for the country, all the testing that we perform.
And the lab that you work at Bode Technology, is that accreditation up to grade at this point?
It is.
Now, with reference to your own work within the lab, is there a sort of standard procedure or protocols that you follow, conformity with that accreditation?
There are. We're under the same standards as all other DNA testing at Bode for mitochondrial DNA testing.
Now, with regard to your specific work, are you familiar with what's called a proficient test?
Yes, I am.
Explain to me what that is and what your experience has been with proficient testing as far as how often and what it consists of.
So a proficiency test is how we stay qualified in what we do in the laboratory. So we get an outside test that we treat just like a regular criminal case. We take it all the way through the laboratory and have it reviewed, report our findings, and then it's sent out and we're graded on that performance.
And with reference to yourself, what if any issues have you had with regard to proficiency testing over the course of your years of work at Bode Technology?
I've had none.
Now, as far as, am I correct in that Bode Technology, as far as the lab is concerned, essentially deals with being tracked for work from external vendors?
Yes.
By that, I mean, as far as get your work or samples that are submitted from outside of your lab, correct?
We do.
And what are some types of organizations that, as far as casework that you deal with, like where does it typically come from? What type of aid?
It can come from anywhere across the United States, and we also have international clients as well.
Now, if I could turn your attention to a specific case that you worked on. When items come into Bode Technology, as far as the lab, they go sort of a check-in process, a chain of custody process. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And with that, is there sort of a number or something that's assigned to a specific sample that follows it about the time that it's at your lab?
Yes, we'll call that the evidence item number, or E dash whatever number it's assigned.
Is there also a case number that's assigned as far as different cases or case submissions?
Yes, there is.
Turning your attention to a specific case that was submitted in January, or partially submitted in January and then partially submitted in March 2024, that came from the Norfolk District Attorney's Office. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
And the Bode case number on that was a CCA416-003. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, with reference to your work on this specific case number, what were the items that you received and sort of what were the items that you received that you eventually did some testing or analysis?
So I continued testing for one of the hair samples.
And specifically, again, that's given a specific name as far as the hair sample, in this case, E01, is that correct?
That is correct.
And then as far as comparison purpose, what, if anything, received in regards to comparison, if you were able to generate a profile from E01?
We received a reference profile from the victim, John O'Keefe.
Now, your specialty within the lab is mitochondrial DNA testing, is that correct?
Yes.
Could you explain to the jury, as far as the mitochondrial DNA, let me ask you this first. Are you also familiar with the term known as autosomal DNA?
I am, yes.
Ms. Chart, explain to the jury first what autosomal DNA is, and then what mitochondrial DNA is, and then I'll have another question.
Of course. So what many people are familiar with is what we call autosomal DNA. So that's the DNA that's actually stored in the nucleus of your cell. You get half from your mother and half from your father, and it's what makes you unique. And it's what people call the blueprint of a person. But what might be a new concept is that there's actually a second form of DNA that is stored within the mitochondria of a DNA, of a cell. So if you can remember maybe back to any science classes that you had, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of that cell. And because of that, you can have upwards of hundreds to thousands of mitochondria within just one single cell. And within each of those mitochondria, you may have thousands of copies of that mitochondrial DNA. So in cases just like this one, where there may not be enough nuclear or autosomal DNA to find, you can go back and try to test for that mitochondrial DNA.
And so if you could explain to the jury some, I think you've alluded to it already, but sort of difference between autosomal DNA versus mitochondria.
So mitochondrial DNA, in contrast, is inherited directly from your mother. So you will have the same mitochondrial DNA profile as your mother, and then you will also have the same mitochondrial DNA profile as any of your siblings. And it has that maternal inheritance that we call it that makes it actually a great source for helping identify people, but it can also be used for criminal cases as well.
First, with respect to the autosomal DNA, can you explain to the jury sort of the process as far as in general terms? What is the process as far as the testing goes or generation of profile?
Sure. So we share similar processing methods. So we will start out by taking a small portion of whatever is sent to the lab, and we call that a sampling. We'll take notes on that and how much that we take forward through testing, and that will go into a small tube. From there, we will extract the DNA or take apart all of the cells by adding chemicals, and what we're left with is what we call a DNA extract. So that's actually where I came in this case. From there, the difference is we will go through what is still called amplification using the PCR method. That will make a bunch of copies of that DNA to be used later on. But for mitochondrial DNA, what we're targeting is specifically just the mitochondrial DNA in that extract. From there, we actually go to something that is completely different from autosomal testing, which is DNA sequencing. So DNA sequencing is really just a way that we are able to take those small strands of DNA that we've amplified, and we're able to read them almost like letters in a sentence.
And the PCR is in reference to the autosomal DNA, is that correct?
It's for both methods.
What is PCR now?
Is a polymerase chain reaction.
And when you say as far as the sort of quantification?
Quantification works.
As far as the quantification step is concerned, how is that sort of done? What kind of instrumentality are you offering?
So for mitochondrial DNA, we will actually run the DNA after amplification on a gel, so a long, really what it sounds like, slab of gel, where we're able to visualize if we obtained any mitochondrial DNA as a band that shows up under a camera.
So with reference to this sample, this EO1, the hair sample, you received it at what stage again, or what step?
I received it as a DNA extract, so it was a amount of liquid in a tube at that point.
And as far as, in general term, again, if you could explain to the jury, sort of what are the steps that go into the processing or analysis prior to that step where you received it on the quantification?
So it went through sampling, it was received, it was inventoried by the person that opened up the evidence, and a small portion or the hair was put into a tube, and then it went through that DNA extraction. So the hair was dissolved, and all of the DNA inside of that hair was released and isolated to just be then that DNA extract.
So from that point where you pick it up as sort of the extract, what is it that you're doing with that as far as your analysis goes there, and what type of instrumentality are you using to form that analysis?
So from there, I am targeting and just trying to find if there is any mitochondrial DNA in that sample. So we'll use the PCR method to amplify to see if there is any mitochondrial DNA we can target, and then I will take it through and visualize it on that gel to make sure to see if we got anything. That is our quantification step. And then after that, I will take it through our sequencing step. And we do load that on an instrument called the 3130 genetic analyzer.
And the 3130 genetic analyzer, how does How does that work?
So it actually runs and separates each of the fragments of DNA that we have amplified and visualizes it through a program. So we're able to read each letter of your DNA sequence.
I could take you back just a step. Are you familiar with a term within your field called the E-loop?
Yes.
Explain, Jerry, what E-loop is and how that factors into your analysis of testing mitochondria.
So the D-loop is actually the region of the mitochondrial genome that we target. It is targeted because it does not contain any useful areas for the actual function of a mitochondria. So it can change over time, and those changes are what actually are recorded as your mitochondrial DNA profile.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.